It is important, and that's so exciting just know that it's not in vain. You know, we read that scripture not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, about don't labor in vain, right? We read that scripture in Proverbs or Psalms, I think it is, where it says, if God's not in it, if God's not building it, you labor in vain. Amen. And that's so true. Make sure God's in it. Make sure God's in when you're walking. Make sure He's in your work. Make sure He's in your time with your family. Make sure He's in everything in your life. Make sure He's in it, and don't leave Him out. Don't leave Him out of anything, because you'll labor in vain if you leave Him out. That's the truth, and we don't want to labor in vain. Let God be a part of everything in your life. Even the hurts, right? It's okay to cry and tell God, I'm hurting. Let Him be in that too. Let Him be in everything. Let Him be, in that part of your life that you have a weakness and you're trying to overcome. Let God be in that too. Let Him be in everything. Because He promises you that He will empower you to overcome. So make sure God is in everything. In the good, the bad, and the ugly. Make sure He's in everything. And I want to do a part two about being at the right place at the right time. You know, last week we talked about that. We talked about this lady that listened to the prophet. The prophet said, you got to go because there's going to be a famine. And she left her land. She left everything behind. She, back then they didn't have the, legal paperwork and, the courthouse that said, she left and she lost her land. But she listened to the prophet, and she was at the right place at the right time. We read the story. I'll give you the quick summary version. So they're telling the king about this amazing, amazing situation where the prophet raised this kid from the dead. And they're telling the king the story that he was raised from the dead. And as they were telling the king the story, they looked back and they saw this woman coming in, and they said, oh, she's the one. And that's the kid that was raised from the dead. And the king was like, what? That's the one that you just told me the story, and she was at the right place at the right time. She entered in at the right place. So what did the king do? You got your land back. And then she was blessed. Why? Because she was obedient, and she was at the right place at the right time. See, when you're in God's will and you're moving in God, good time, bad times, it doesn't matter. Amazing things are going to happen. Because that's His promise for His people. So it's just the patient part that gets to us as humans, right? We want it done yesterday. But He's a good God. He's a faithful God. And I want to talk about being at the right place at the right time. Part two. So a reminder to write a thought down. See, last week I forgot to say that until the very end. So I told everyone who did not write a thought down that they were supposed to write down, I'm not going to forget to write a thought down, right? So now I'm going to tell you at the beginning, so you don't have to write that at the end, right? All right. So write a thought down. Pray about it. Let God be in it. Let God be in that. Whatever touches your heart. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Well, a rare thing happened yesterday. Very rare thing happened yesterday. Me and Caesar, we like to go out and play golf, and we were able to do that yesterday, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of stress relief. I enjoy it just to get out, you and that ball, right? And a rare thing happened yesterday. I hit four pars in a row, my first four holes. That's a rare thing. I was so excited. I was thinking to myself, I'm at the right place at the right time. This is nice. This game is so easy, I was thinking. Then it just all collapsed. A few holes later, I hit it into the water three times in a row. So, it just all collapsed. I hit the ball in the water three times in a row, and I thought, I guess this isn't my day. So, which one is it? One moment, all seemed perfect, and the next moment, things were not working out for me. The truth is, being at the right place at the right time is not dependent on whether things are going well for us. It is dependent on whether or not God is in it. Amen. In what you're doing. That's what's important. You know, and we as Christians, we know how to talk the talk. We know how to pretend. But we need to make sure that God's in everything that we do. We know how to do the right thing, say the right things, go through the right motions. But down deep in the secrecy of your heart, we got to let God be in it. Amen. He's got to be in there. You know, it's you know, we hear that and we know what that means. Like, God's got to be in everything. But you got to take action to that, right? You have to figure what that is for you. What does that mean, God in it? What does that mean? I got to take God with me at work or in this situation and the good and the bad. Let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. You got to spend time in prayer. So it's not dependent on whether everything's going well for us. So ask yourself this question this morning. Am I allowing God into every part of my life? Even when trials come, are you trusting Him? Right? We sang that song. We sang these words. It seemed to be a theme about a worship this morning that we were crying out to God that we're trusting You. I just got this, like, Him listening to us, like, just so proud. Proud of His children. Because Jesus knows, right? He was here on earth. He knows the pain. He knows the sorrow. But we trust Him. Even when sin starts to creep in, are you praying in repentance and asking God to empower you to conquer sin? Are you letting Him be in that? If you want to be in the right place at the right time, make sure God is there. Make sure God is in that situation. Make sure He's in your life. Make sure He's in everything. Romans 8:28. If you'll turn there. Romans 8:28. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, you should, and you should do it. Because it is very, very, it's big. It's important. We all know it. You'll hear it again and again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes. We quote this scripture a lot. But I wanted to start with this today to kind of just set the right place at the right time. And we know that all things work together for good. All things means all things. I want you to say all things out loud. 1, 2, 3. All things. One more time. All things. All means the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the pretty. All things, for those who are letting God be in it, for those who are allowing God to drive, for those who are allowing God to be part of everything in their life, all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, things are going to work for your good. Amen. Even bad things are going to work for your good. You should look at it this way. You're in Christ Jesus, and you're kind of having one of those rebellious stages. I know you guys aren't rebellious. None of you rebel against God or anything like that. But just pretend that you did for this example. That was a joke, but nobody got it. Okay. Even when you go through those rebellious stages in life, sometimes things start happening that aren't so pleasant. And even those things are meant for good, right? To get you back on the right track, right? Because He maketh you to lie down in green pastures, right? He maketh you. He's going to get you there one way or the other, right? Amen. By force or what? He's going to get you there because He loves you. It's like when your child starts making a mistake, you're going to correct them because you love them, and it's not going to be pleasant for them. Right? Because they want to play that video game and you're taking it away, but you're correcting it because you love them, because it's for their good. So even things that don't seem pleasant, it's for your good. That's why all things work together for good. And sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we We're like, okay, God, hurry up and teach me the lesson so I can go through this. Hurry up. But all things work together for good. And he's a good God. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is. So if you don't have that one underlined, underline it, because you need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded that all things work together for good for them who are in Christ Jesus. Have you ever had a moment when you experience something and you just know that it was not a coincidence? Right? Have you ever had one of those moments where that was not a coincidence? God was in that. You know, some of you know, and I'll give you the short, very, very short version about what we call the miracle of the sign. You know, I go in to just look for a banner, and God gives us free of charge a sign, a lighted sign. And when I walked out of there, I knew God was in it. When I walked out of that place, because I didn't know it was a stranger that did this, I knew right away God was in it. I knew it was not a coincidence. I knew it was not a coincidence that I couldn't make it to McAllen that day where I wanted to go to a sign place. And it was too late, so I decided I needed to go to one closer to my house. That none of that was a coincidence. Amen. Right? What I said last week, it was a God incidence. It was God intervening, because he had a plan. Amen. And when I was at the right place, at the right time. It's not a coincidence. When God's driving your life, things are happening purposely. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Trust him. Trust him. Make sure God is in it. He will blow your mind. He will. We do serve a God who has proven that signs and wonders is what he does. That's what he does. He's a God of signs and wonders. It reminds me of another incident with Michelle and her sister. When I was trying to plan about getting postcards and things like that, and I was trying to, okay, we got to buy these and start planning that out. Michelle gives us some kind of gift card, and we were able to get them all for free. And it was just like timing. Like I was about thinking about it. And then the gift card or gift thing came in. And it was like, get 1,000 postcards. And I opened up the letter. And the name of the company was Signs and Wonders. So that was no coincidence. And at the moment I showed it to Alyssa. And we just laughed because we just knew that was God just kind of like, I'm here. Just keep on going. Isn't that nice when life goes, when the confirmation is that easy and he's just like, and then there comes times when it's not as easy, but that's okay. We're patient. But God is on the move. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. The Word of God is full of moments where his people are at the right place at the right time. In Matthew 14, verse 26, we have one of those moments. Where Jesus, let's read it. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, on the sea, they were fearful, they were troubled, saying, is it a ghost? Is it a spirit? They cried out of fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, relax. It is me, it is I. Jesus, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, let me come on the water. And he said, well, then come. Then Peter stepped out of the boat, and he walked on water, and he went to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and the boisterous waves, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Peter was at the right place at the right time to witness something amazing. He was there and he had the courage to say, hey, let me do it if you can do it. Like, if this is really God, then I'm going to take advantage of this situation. I'm going to walk on the water. He was at the right place at the right time. But even while he was witnessing a sign and a wonder, a miracle, there's an important part of this story where that reminds us, always keep your eyes on Jesus, right? You see, we're human beings, and sometimes when everything's going very well, we kind of leave Jesus, you know, like everything's going well, so Jesus becomes second thought on the back seat. But this story reminds us about, hey, walking on the water was pretty extraordinary, right? You would think his faith would only be increasing. But no, he got distracted. And it's so important that we don't get distracted, to keep God in it, to keep Jesus first, to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our eyes on trusting Him, to keep our eyes on Him. So they were at the right place at the right time, and it was a miracle that they witnessed. In your life, as you begin to be at the right place at the right time, as you begin to make sure God is in everything that you do, you will start experiencing more and more of that, where you were at the right place at the right time, you prayed for that person. You were at the right place at the right time, you were able to encourage that person. You were at the right place at the right time, you provided hope. You'll start seeing more and more of that in your life. But you got to take the step out of the boat. Right? You got to get a little uncomfortable sometimes. In John, turn to John chapter 19, verse 26. John chapter 19, verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciples took her in into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saying, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it into his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. This is a perfect illustration that shows us that being at the right place at the right time is not always pleasant. You see, I mean, we're just not one of those churches that's going to tell you everything is going to be wonderful, and if it's not going wonderful, then you must be in sin. You know that. You know, remember that story when they asked Jesus why the man was blind? Was it because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, neither. It was neither. It was so that you could see the glory of God right now, right here, right now. See, sometimes we go through things, but His glory will shine through it when He's in it. Always. There will be a sign and a wonder. There will be something miraculous happening. So this was a perfect illustration that God was in it. This was it. It wasn't pleasant, but it always results. When God is in it, it always results in the kingdom of God being increased. That is true. So though you may go through a struggle or a battle or through a situation, there's the end result of that when you work through it and God is in it and you trust Him and you get the victory. And there's victory that always comes. Don't forget that either. There's always victory in Jesus. But there comes a moment where's the victory. But it always comes, leads to an increase in His kingdom, either through salvations or deliverances or just the devil being defeated, darkness being defeated. There will be, the end result of your walk is going to be kingdom increase. Something is going to increase for the kingdom of God. So Jesus knew. He knew that he was at the right place at the right time. Jesus knew that his death was part of the plan, so that you and I can be here today, not in despair, but in joy and peace, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why he was okay. God was in it. It doesn't mean it was easy. Doesn't mean it was pleasant. But God was in it. And because of that, you and I will be dancing in the streets of gold for eternity. Because he was in it. See, as long as God is in it, nothing else really matters. Because no matter what, we're all going to go on in this life. And we will all stop this life at some point. What is a constant is eternal life. You know, we've been studying this on Tuesdays in Revelation, how it describes streets of gold. How it describes, like, everything this world is looking for, like glamour, like Hollywood. Hollywood is trying to present, like, the glamorous, the fame, all of that stuff to people, more money, being better than others, being accepted, everything that human nature is trying to achieve. One day, we'll all be standing in our mansion on the streets of gold, and it was describing sapphire and emerald and all these beautiful, beautiful scenery that I kept telling them on Tuesday, I'm not even giving it justice trying to describe how amazing this place is going to be. Amen. And above the visual beauty, what's even more amazing is that there'll be no more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Amen. It's like, I started just like, I'm feeling so exciting, but I don't know if I can even describe it. And there was one part we read where it says that the God and the Lamb, Jesus being the Lamb, will be sitting, and that there'll be like a river flowing through from them, and it'll be like crystal, and it's that river of eternal. People are looking to be filled with something. But in this eternity, we will be eternally being filled by the glory of God. See, that's where it all is headed. So when we look at our trials and our tough times and if you just let God be in that, because sometimes we're stubborn and when things aren't going our way, we blame God. But we need to let God be in it. Not to blame Him, but to trust Him. And I think that's why this morning was so important when we were singing, "We trust You, Lord." And He heard that. It's so important because all of that, when you're going through those hard times, when you're going through trials, remember the victory will come and the kingdom of God will be increased. And when the kingdom of God is increased, we're all going to be going to those streets of gold to celebrate. And we're going to dance and there's going to be just an eternal. It's what people don't even know what they're looking for. They think they don't. But God has put a void in our hearts to be filled. And you know what fills it? Read the book of Revelation chapter 22. That's what fills it. That is it. That's the eternal destination for us all. So let God be in it. And that's why Jesus did what He did. That's why He died. That's why He didn't turn away. That's why He did not call 10,000 angels to rescue Him. The Bible makes it clear that if He would have called them, the God the Father would have rescued Him. But He wouldn't do it. Why? Because He was at the right place at the right time. And I believe you are at the right place at the right time this morning. Amen. Let God be in it. I'm just going to read this quote in closing and go back to Romans 8:28. We'll end by reading that. I pulled this out. I was just reading up on different sermons, and I pulled this out of one of the sermons that I was reading. It said, "When Jesus died on the cross, His followers wondered how any good could come out of this horrible turn of events. Some of the disciples, they went back to fishing. they resigned to the conclusion that this was the end of Jesus and all that he came to do. For those 3 days between the crucifixion and the resurrection, all seemed lost. But as they discovered, and we know now, it wasn't the end. It was only the beginning. Jesus lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I love that hymn. Remember that old hymn? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know, I don't even remember the words, Kathleen, but remember them all. God, of course, had always planned for good to come out of what looked like the impossible situation. And it was more than a coincidence or even a God incidence. This was God's plan from the beginning. The whole of history up until then led to this fulcrum event as part of God's grand plan of love and redemption. Jesus was in the right place at the right time because he was. We also are in the right place at the right time. We are right where he wants us to be, in and through him. We are safe in the circles of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, loved and redeemed by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't have to wonder if our lives will have counted, no matter how hopeless the circumstances surrounding us. All will indeed work together for good in the end, because he loves us. And how do we know that it's all going to be good? Because in Romans 8:28, it says all things. Let's read that together. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. Everything. Be at the right place at the right time. And how do you do that? You know, you make sure God's in it. Let me just summarize it into that. Make sure God's in it. How do you make sure God's in it? Read your Bible. Pray. Ask God to lead you. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. You know what to do. Let him be in it. Even when things aren't going great and you're a little bit upset at God, right? That happens. If you're honest with yourself, let God be in it. Let him be in it. It's okay to tell God you don't understand. Right? Job did it. Job said, I don't understand. But Job never cursed God. But it was okay to ask him. You know, Job asked him a question one time. But be careful with the answer sometimes. The answer comes back pretty fierce. Job asked him something and he said, who are you? I created your mouth. I created you. It's like, yeah, you want to go read Job? Let God be in it. I'm going to ask Michelle to come and we're going to have communion. In our communion, it's important to let God be in it, right? It's not just going through the motions. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's being obedient. What we try to do in this church is at least once a month have communion and do it in remembrance of him. And we want to be obedient in that. I'm going to ask Joseph and Pete if they'll come. We'll hand out the bread and thank you, Jesus. He's a good God. Yes, Lord. We do trust you, Lord. We do trust you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We might want to just, we have a hymnal somewhere, we can find that that song. I just feel like I need to read it. I just like, I got to find these words. Let's all lift our breads and we're going to pray. And Michelle will lead us in some music after we pray. As you lift your bread up, Lord, we want you to be in this. Lord, forgive us for our sins, for our trespasses, for our anger, for holding grudges. But before we take the bread this morning, we want to ask you to forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we want you to reign, to drive, to empower us to be more than conquerors. Because your word says we are more than conquerors. So Lord, as we lift this bread and we remember that you went to the cross. You were at the right place at the right time so that we could be here this morning in the right place at the right time to remember. To remember that you have conquered death, sin, and the grave. And that one day we will be in eternity dancing in the streets of gold with you, with our loved ones. And you did it all because of one simple word, love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, whoever believes in his name, Jesus, will have eternal life. Lord, we take this. We are humbled and proud to be counted as part of your children, as part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. Amen. Father, we lift this cup in remembrance of the blood that was shed at Calvary. Lord, and this morning as we come to realize, Lord, that above all, we need you to be in it. We need you to be in everything about us, about our lives. Because we desire to be at the right place at the right time, to be about your business, to be about the kingdom. And what you did on the cross, what you shed on the cross, gives us hope where there was no hope. Hope that one day we will rule and reign with you, that one day, as Revelation tells us, we will have a mansion and we will be at peace and filled by your glory, where no sun will have to shine because your glory will be enough. So Lord, we take this and we drink this in remembrance of that day. Let's drink together in Jesus' name.
Let's all stand.